Thank you, Craig. So it's a great honor and a privilege to welcome Dr. Joe Lupo onto the call today. Dr. Joe is one of my mentors, was one of the people that I was first exposed to when I got turned on to chiropractic. And it was very inspirational for me, in part because I could identify with him because we had common points in history. In terms of he came to chiropractic as an adult, already had a job, already had a family, was and switched careers and was in construction, and I was too. So it was very easy for me to identify with Joe, and Joe was exemplary of the success and the freedom that I wanted to emulate. So he was a great role model for me. And one of the things that I heard and learned from him very early on was that even though he was extremely established, very successful by the standards of chiropractic, like he'd already, you know, he'd made it, he's still showing up at the meetings every single time, sitting in the front row, taking copious notes, like soaking it in, like totally soaking it in like a sponge. And at that point, it probably been, I don't know, when did you graduate, Joe?
June 1978.
So 78. So you're, when I got exposed, so you're already 15 years in and you're super successful. And I'm watching you like really, really, really be attentive and learning from people. And then hearing you talk about all of the coaching that you had received from dozens and dozens and dozens of teachers, and then also seeing you come back to what was for me also the source that inspired me was very good and clear leadership for me to follow. And seeing you and your cohort and colleagues and you all, and it's your, you hang with your mentors. And then even though you identify them as mentors for somebody coming behind, you're in that same group as those mentors, right? So, you know, so I cannot be more grateful to you and delighted to have you on this call today. So I'm just going to leave it at that and let you take it away, Joe.
Well, first, I want to say that I'm flattered that you put me in this position, that you think that of me. I never really, unless I sit there quietly and think about it, think of myself as a mentor. But I guess I am. I guess you're a mentor because of your actions. You don't try me to be a mentor. People put that on you, I think. You put that, it goes the other way around. They see you as a mentor. They follow examples. So I've always been a hard worker. Nothing's been given to me. And I worked my way through college. It took me 7 years to get a bachelor's degree. I was going to be an electrical engineer, but I changed curriculum in my senior year. So that took a whole extra year to do it. But I worked all the time. And I just started college by paying my way by working. So I started painting. And that painting thing over the period of those years became small repairs and bigger repairs. By the time I graduated, I was actually rehabbing complete houses for the Housing and Urban and Development in Michigan there. It's a U.S. government thing, but it was in Detroit. And we were taking on full jobs from the federal government and doing pretty well. And that was takes us to 1975. I'd already been married 5 years, and I'm 32 years old. Never gave chiropractic a thought, didn't know anything about it. And I got a call from my friend one night. So what I'm about to do here is share my story with you and see what is in my story that resonates or helps people, okay? First of all, I'm going to tell you, God set this up. I could not have planned it. I could never write the script, right? So I got a call in February of 1975 from my good friend, Vince Nessie, that I went to undergraduate with. That's why I met him in junior college. We went, spent, you know, several years together. We worked together and we went to school together and did a lot of things. So he's a close, close friend. And he was in pre-med at the time. He stayed in school, figured he didn't know what to do. So he's going to go to med school. And he's taken all the classes, but he became, I don't know, not just not enamored with the medical thing. So he thinks he's going to be a chiropractor, perhaps, right? Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan has about 35,000 students. And some of our mentors, I'm going to name them right now. That would be Chuck Ribley, John Hoffman, Ian Grassam, Jim Gregg. They're going to have a student recruitment event at Wayne State. Wouldn't that be fertile ground, right? Got all these people here in school, ready to go and ready to listen to you. And Chuck Ribley's wife, Ruth Ribley, accompanying them. So there's a room set up for an SRE, student recruitment event. Vince, my friend Vince, is the only person in that school that showed up to this event. So the big hitters from Michigan, they thought, well, this is a bust. Nothing's going to happen from here. So I guess we're not going to have an event. Chuck's wife, Ruth, I said, wait a minute. There's a student in there. If you guys are going to go talk to him, I'm going in. Well, Ruth, if you know Ruth, nothing stops her. She'll talk to anybody about chiropractic. I don't care. You're going to be in a darn jacuzzi somewhere at a resort. She's going to start chiropractic and send you to school or to a chiropractor, right? So she talked to my friend Vince for about an hour. And they went back and forth. And sometimes a little contentious. He would disagree with her, medicine, chiropractic, whatever. And but he made an she made an impression on my friend Vince. So I guess he got home that same night. I'm home from work. I'm unwinding. I'm having a couple glasses of wine, just chilling out. And I get a call. This is pre-cell phone, guys. I just got a call on the landline, right? Hello. Hey, Joe. Yeah, Vince, how are you? He says, you want to make $100,000 a year? Now, we're talking $1,975, you understand? I says, yeah, you got my attention, $100,000 a year, right? Yeah, I'm not making anywhere near that. I'm doing well, but not near $100,000. He says, well, you need to be a chiropractor. I says, a chiropractor. What is that all about? What's that do? He said, well, they're doctors. They're doctors without medicine. He said, well, look, Vince, I'm not going back to school for another 8 years to be a doctor. I says, I've already been around. He says, no, you got a bachelor's degree. You already fulfilled requirements to get into chiropractic school. You could do this in 3 years, go a year around. I says, well, all right. So that's interesting. Okay. Anyway, so I kind of let it go there. And meanwhile, I'm doing my business here. Now, this is February. My wife is 7 months pregnant with our firstborn son, Jeff. And we're selling our house, getting ready to move into our next home, our dream home, right? That's what we think it is, our dream home. All right. And I've got my business going. So I got a lot of irons in the fire and I'm cruising along. But he did plant a seed in me. It's something resonated when he said that to me. He says, you know, I don't know why. Maybe the two glasses of wine got me all relaxed and I could be talked to. You know what I mean? So, okay. It's something felt okay about it. So there we are at that point. Hang up. I can go on with my life. And we speak pretty frequently. We're close friends. He'd be on the phone, Joe, what do you think about this chiropractic thing? You're thinking about it? Yeah, Vince, I've given a lot of thought. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. But, you know, I got a lot of shit going. He said, but go ahead. Carry on. But I think it's a good idea for you. See, we did a lot of things together in the past. So what Vince thought was good for him, it must be good for me too. So that was his attitude. So turns out he's right, by the way. But the point is, my life's going along and he keeps talking to me. You know, I hear about this once or twice a week from him about chiropractic. I said, well, okay. A few weeks go by. Now we're into late March, early April. I said, let's look into this thing. Oh, by the way, he talked me into taking a neurology class, go back to school and take another class. He figured maybe that'd get me interested in chiropractic. So we're doing some of the neurology, but we went to the library to research chiropractic because I don't know anything. Let's go find out what's going on. There was almost nothing in the school library about chiropractic. And one thing I noted when they talked about chiropractic, they talked about uneducated people go to the chiropractor and chiropractors might make $25,000 a year on average. So I wasn't all impressed with that, you know, but Vince was committed to pursuing this thing and kept bringing it up. He said, well, what else can we know? How can we learn more about chiropractic? He says, well, these guys came to school and talked. I said, yeah, we need to talk to a chiropractor. You remember any of them? And he thought for a bit, and he thought, Hoffman. One guy's name was Hoffman. So we went to the Yellow Pages. You remember? No internet, nothing. You know, the Yellow Pages, that's it. So we found Hoffman about a half an hour from where we live. We called him up and told him we were interested. How about going to chiropractic school? A couple of guys are interested in that. He said, great, I'd love to talk to you guys. You can come to my office and we'll talk it down. Okay, when do you want us to come? Well, come Wednesday at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Well, what John Hoffman did every Wednesday, as hundreds and hundreds of chiropractors did around here, did a new patient orientation at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. They were DE chiropractors, and we all did the same thing. 7 o'clock, you're doing a report of findings. You're going to tell the story, the whole thing. Well, they didn't know I was walking into that. But I says, okay, we'll be there. But before we go, before we hang up, let me ask you a question. I says, I was looking at the library, Ms. Dr. Hoffman. It says chiropractors only make like 25 grand a year, my average. He says, shit, that's bull crap. I made $97,000 my first year in practice, and I see 300 patients a day. I said, okay, that's cool. Nice to hear that. And then we hung up, and I turned to Vince, and I says, the guy says he sees 300 patients a day. I can't shake that many hands. What do you mean, see 300 a day? He's got to be the biggest phony. And I wasn't expecting much, except he sounded nice on the phone, really a sweet guy, you know, which John was beautiful. Anyway, we decided, okay, we're going on Wednesday, but you know what? We got to find out more. We're going to spy on this dude. I want to see what he really does. So we went there 3 hours early. We showed up about 4 o'clock. There was a McDonald's down the street. We got some stuff from McDonald's and parked our car across the street and had burgers and shakes and watched the office. And we saw a pretty steady stream of people going in and out of the front door, in and out. Well, that looks pretty impressive. There's a lot of people in and out every couple of minutes, you know? All righty. So we did that for a couple of hours, and it gets to be about 6:45. I said, well, let's go in early here, and we'll get to see him, right? We did. We walked in the front door. The CAs at the front desk said, you guys sit, okay, over in the back by the back wall there, and Dr. Hoffman will be out shortly. Okay, he'll be out shortly. And that 15 minutes, that waiting room with about 36 chairs filled right up. Standing room only, all of his patients. We didn't know what they're there for, but Hoffman comes out at 7 o'clock and begins his new patient orientation. And he's an articulate guy, man. And he's a young 28-year-old chiropractor, Vietnam vet, Marine, really expresses well. And he gave a phenomenal talk. And what he said when he told the chiropractic story, you know, above, down, inside, out, the body heals itself. It doesn't need the drugs. And there's an intelligence that runs the body. You keep the faith and you get adjusted and sick people get well without drugs. I says, holy cow, man, that's what I think already. I didn't think drugs got people well. Maybe in a crisis there you need it. But this is so far so good. This sounds pretty good. And his delivery was so good, I was impressed. And I saw a waiting room full of people. I was impressed. So we remained sitting there because when he went back in his office, the people started getting up and he's doing x-ray reports. It took till 9 o'clock before he got done with everybody. And it's getting to be about right 9 o'clock. And I told Vince, we're going to get about 5 minutes with this dude because he'd been working all day. You know, it's 9 o'clock at night. He's got to go to bed. 9 o'clock rolls around, the patients are gone. He says, you guys come out of my office. So he took us back in his office. And we spent the next 3 hours, no hesitation. He just went on and on about how excited he is about chiropractic. And I think he'd been in practice for about, I don't know, 4 years at that time, maybe more. But the thing is, we want to talk about going to school to be a chiropractic school. Maybe there's National College because it's in Chicago, not that far from Detroit. He said, no, you're going to go to Life and you're going to listen to Sid Williams and you're going to go to DE. And he kept on talking about DE, philosophy, Sid Williams, DE, philosophy, Sid Williams. I want to talk about in school, you know, but he kept going on and on and on and on. I said, well, okay. Tell you what, I'm seeing what you're doing and I'm really thoroughly impressed with you. I want to do whatever you're doing in this office here. That's my goal would be, if I'm going to stop what I'm doing and go to school, we're going to do that. I want to do that. And he says, you go down there and listen to Sid Williams, do what he tells you to do. You will do what I'm doing. Okay. You sure? I heard that's a new school without accreditation. Don't worry. You know the words, keep the faith, keep the faith. Wasn't accredited, but you know what, John? I just believe the guy was so credible. Vince and I decided to go down to school. I didn't decide at that time yet. Still, my kid was just born at that time. Whether either you're going to be born in a couple of days or he was just born, something like that. And we had just moved into that dream house, right? And I still got the business. There's a lot to hang on to. There's a lot of attachments there, right? All right. But I think God's talking to me because everything's coming my way. And I'm going to, just to pick up on where I wanted this thing, I've got a couple of notes that I don't want to miss this. So more weeks went on. Vince keeps bugging me. He's going to go to school for sure. He wants me to go with him, right? And his persistence about asking me would not, it wouldn't let the thought go away. It wouldn't just let it dissipate. So I said, okay, all right, let's, what if, what would I have to do? All kinds of other things. I thought, maybe there's a possibility for this thing to be for real, you know? So comes along June. I'm still at the school there, and I happen to see a flyer, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It says, would you like to get it together? I don't know if you, that's a very popular term then now, but it was back in the 70s, get it together. I said, well, let's learn about using your mind better. That's interesting. And this little class is going to start in about 10 minutes. So I walked over to where it was happening. And I think there are about 25, 35 people in the room. And I sat down and they did a demonstration where a guy sits up in the front and the people in the room mention objects and 20 objects. And he recited them all back to everybody in order. And I was thoroughly impressed. How do you memorize 25 things in order? What's going on? I said, there must be really something, this thing. It's about using your mind better. This guy's pretty amazing, you know? And they said, well, this is a demonstration. And if you want to learn, instead of using 2 or 3% of your mind, maybe you can use 8 or 10% of your mind. Wouldn't that be great, right? Got my interest. And there was a 2.5 day class in that following weekend, which I attended. It was all about meditation and visualization. And belief, and more meditation, and visualization, and creating your world. And you talk about, you know what, you do create your world, and I respect your God. So, all right, I want to create my world. I'm interested in something like that. So, I attended that class. After that class is over, thoroughly impressed. Everybody's on a high on Sunday morning. It's kind of like going to Inner Winters, I guess. You can, you know, you break barriers and all kinds of things happen when you get out of the mainstream of what else is going on in your life. And they said, well, we have a much deeper, intense class starting in about a week and a half. It's a 5-day long class. It's all day long. You know, 8 o'clock in the morning till whatever, 8 at night, something like that. So I signed up for that. That was the game changer of my life right there, that class. I said, wow, I guess I can do anything if I put my mind to it. And I went to that, totally a changed person. My whole thinking was different after that. That experience was phenomenal. And Vince kept bugging me.
What was the message, Joe? What did you hear? What was the...
Oh, that's what I should expound on a little bit. You go deep inside, listen to yourself, get quiet, and just listen. Get rid of all the distractions. Stay quiet, listen, visualize. See how clearly you can see something. You know, you might meditate on an apple. What does an apple look like? See how clearly you can see an apple. Just close your eyes and see that, you know? And what else? What do you want your world to do? You can paint your world in every detail you want, the kind of home you want, whatever else. what else you want to do with your life? You just need to state it, see it, believe it, and act accordingly, and nobody's stopping you. You are your limitations. So, well, that gave me some confidence that I never had before, right? So now we're at coming up to the summer quarter, going to start, and my friend leaves to go to Georgia, and he asked me, Joe, are you going to come down or what? I said, Vince, okay, I'm going to make a decision real soon, and one way or the other. So I had to sit with myself and say, okay, I got to make a decision. My great friend Vince is asking me, and basically I've been kind of putting him off for 5 months because I can't make a decision. So I decided with the tools I just learned, guess what? I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to go in a dark room in my house right now. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to come out with a decision one way or the other. No matter what the decision is, I ain't looking back. I don't know, 30 minutes in that room, I came out. And the answer that I got in that room was go to chiropractic school. So I called the school. My friend Vince was already there and his class started. And I asked, can I get in? And a lady on the phone, she says, well, you have to be here in 2 days or we can't let you in. It'd be too late. That's 2 days, eh? All right, thank you. So I went to Sandy. She's in the house with the baby. I said, Sandy, I'm going to be a chiropractor. She says, well, that's good. I'll, you know, if that's what you think you need to do, we'll do that. I said, but the thing is, I'm leaving tomorrow. School starts Thursday. Leaving tomorrow, eh? I says, yeah, you're going to have to sell the house that we just moved into in April. This is July. Let's call a real estate lady, sell the house, meet me down there as soon as you sell the house and pack everything up. We get a couple of friends to get a U-Haul and get you down there. She let me do it. How many wives are going to let you do that? Right? I don't know how many. Not many, probably. They'll say, are you nuts? Or call the lawyer and file for divorce. And, of course, when the word got out that same day, it was places buzzing. Lupo has gone, flipped his lid. He's out of his mind. So anyhow, they thought we were getting divorced. I don't know. All kinds of stuff went around. Anyway, got down to school. I think I met Sid Williams that day. I think he was doing orientation maybe. And that's the guy Hoffman talked about, Sid Williams. And I got this guy with the Southern drawl and the way he would talk, he just really, a lot of people said, you never really understood what he's saying, but you did understand what he's saying at a different level. And he said words like, you are successful right now. It's an attitude you need to have. Is you are successful. You have to have belief. Everything's about belief, right? So there we are at school, my first quarter in school. That was on Thursday. Saturday, I got my first adjustment.
Which class was it? Well, you were, which?
School opened up in January. There was a January class, an April class, and I was in the July class. Okay. Including my class of 75 people. There were only about 105 in the whole school. And there was virtually nothing there. It was half of a building. The unemployment office shared the building with the school. And that's what we had. It didn't look like a school. Are you kidding me? You know? But you know what? That's what they talked about. Keep the faith. It's going to happen. We'll make it happen. Get accreditation. Well, in a few years, what did it have? Accreditation, the biggest school ever, et cetera, you know? So I was totally in with it. I said, I'm buying this thing 100%, right? I'm going to do whatever John Hoffman told me to do. I'm going to listen to Sid Williams. Sid Williams talk about BJ, read the green books. This, I'll do that. BJ tapes first quarter, listen to BJ. Because remember back then we had a little cassette tape. Anyway, we listened to BJ tapes. I guess we got them from Sid. And we just bought the whole program, Vince and I just, yep, that's it. If you don't want to talk about chiropractic, I guess we don't have much to talk about. You know, this is what we're doing right now, you know. You know, I'm already 32. I'm not going to start things over again, right? This is it. I'm 100%, I'm going for it. And we just bought chiropractic hook, line, and sinker. We got through the first quarter. I graduated summa cum laude. Magna cum laude. And we decided, okay, let's go home for the weekend and see our friends and tell them what we're doing up in Georgia. So we did. We drove home with Sandy and the baby, his dad and me. And we met with our friends and we started talking about chiropractic and DE and stuff like that. And he said, you guys are crazy. Something's different about you. Something is definitely different, which is a good thing. So I hope I'm different, right? But you guys are strange. But we only had a weekend and we drove back to Georgia. And after them telling us we're nuts, within a couple of weeks, these guys are all enrolling in prereqs because they don't want to miss the boat. Joe and Vince have something going. They're doing something which we might not understand, but they're totally excited about this stuff and so sure of it that guess what? We're going to do this thing. And then word spread. I think about 15 people followed us down there within the next couple of years. The 15 students, Joe Maynard, if you remember who he was, he wrote the book Healing Hands about the BJ family. He took a picture of all the kids one time, of all the students that followed Vince and I down there over the 2-3 following years. So anyhow, we're in there. These students started following us. So we got our first referrals to school while we were still in school. So anyway, I'd go to DE all the time. Like you said, where did I sit? Not in the back. I'm going to sit up front. I'm going to drink from the fountain. I don't want to miss anything. Maybe I've got attention deficit, but I need to sit up front. So we're up there. I'm going to listen to the story. I'm going to listen to the story again. I'm going to listen to it again and again. There's nothing else I'm doing. I'm totally committed to this chiropractic thing. So I'm going to do this. So I'm there. I'm totally loyal. I'm with the movement. People told me after school, you know, I knew you were going to be a successful chiropractor. I says, how did you know that? I watched you. Every DE, you did. You were up there right at Sid's feet. I said, you noticed that? Yeah, you noticed it. You're up there. You wouldn't be in the back row. You wouldn't be in the hallway. None of that stuff, you know? So, and I learned things. You know, work is fun. I love to work. Well, no problem with that with me. You know, visualize. We do the visualization. We do this 49 breaths. Whatever exercise Sid said to do, I did because I just believed in Sid. I believe I was led to the right guy. Like I said, I couldn't have wrote this script. I was led by the hand. I'm in the right place. I just am. So that's it. First quarter, we learned to touch each other. We would palpate each other. First quarter students, they're scared to death in school to do something like that. Oh, to touch somebody? Come on. We were, well, off the record, of course, we were adjusting each other first quarter. By the time I got out of school, you know, I was a pretty good adjuster already. You know, besides in the clinic, I had a lot of adjustments under my belt. So we saw what adjustments could do. Never missed a beat. We did crazy shit to maintain our chiropractic, not persona, but internal being. Vince and I used to run in the woods out there in Marietta, around the Marietta Square, 4 to 6 miles, and chant chiropractic, one word, and do that. Take about an hour of running and chanting. I mean, we would put chiropractic in our DNA, man. That was it. I'm chiropractic. We're not going anywhere else. This is where we're at. We're in chiropractic and totally committed to it. So when I graduated, oh, by the way, every meeting, every time there was a DE meeting in Atlanta, we're there already. I'm driving downtown, wherever the meeting is, we're going to it, you know. I got to know everybody. Like we mentioned Tom Morgan a few minutes ago, Wayne King, tons of them, Sigafoos, and some of them were so inspirational. I want to drink from that and didn't want to miss any of that. I want that. The more that I get, the more it becomes me and I become that, you know what I mean? So. I think I had pretty good confidence when I graduated from school. So I graduated beginning of June. DE was at the end of the month. We turned around and went right back to Georgia, went to DE, and my wife's pregnant with our second kid, Jesse. And she's like 8 months pregnant. And we were checking, and the Marriott downtown was full. We couldn't get in the Marriott, so we're at the Holiday Inn across the street. And Sandy went to Dr. Nell's class. And a couple of people are looking at Sandy the way she's breathing. They said, you know what? I think you're going to have a baby today. This is on Friday. We better prepare to have a baby. You're only 8 months pregnant, but you know what? The doc must have been wrong or something like that. Maybe the plane ride did something. But anyway, Friday night, our baby was born in the hotel room. We delivered her along with a couple of our classmates, et cetera. Everybody was having home births and everything. So I figured I'd had emergency childbirth in the last quarter of school. I probably know what to do. So we had our friends helping us. And our baby was born at 11:30 on Friday night. And we took her to Grady Memorial Hospital the next day to, you know, register her birth. Oh, you got a healthy kid here. Okay. And did you put the silver nitrate in her eye? Oh, yeah, we did that. That's all done, you know, the whole thing. So my daughter's never had an inoculation. She never had one shot in her life. We just didn't do the drugs, you know. So we took her to the meeting the next day. And Sid and Nell came out. This was at lunchtime.
Oh, she was at her, she attended her first DE at one day.
Yeah, she's about 14 hours old. She's at DE already. Yeah. She was the first kid to be born at DE. The Sonia had the second one. But our kids grew up in DE. So chiropractic's not strange to them. DE's not strange to them. They were getting the philosophy at a young age as little children. And then in 1990, when we started going to Inner Winters, to Chuck Ridley's program, our kids learned how to be leaders. So my son is like 15 years old, and she's like 12 years old. And after a while, they're leading events at Inner Winters. I mean, they're acting like adults. My kids, they don't fear adults. They're just, well, they're adults now, but I mean, they were just comfortable with adults and telling people how it is, like, and just communicating. And they learned a ton of that from Chuck Rivers' program. If you guys, well, your program is Chuck's program.
Right.
And DE mixed together, whatever, I don't know. But your DE of Europe, as far as I'm concerned. But the point is, yeah, people need this.
So you graduate, you go back down to DE, Jesse's born, one day old, 12 hours old in the meeting. Then what? Then what happens?
Oh, let's back up a couple of months. I opened up in January of 79. Oh, no, this is going forward. I went to work for Jimmy Gregg. That's it. A couple of weeks later, I went to work for Jimmy Gregg. And we're seeing 300 every day. I mean, I'm living it now. We're seeing, John Hoffman said he saw it. He was doing it. I watched him one night, you know, looked pretty good. But with Jimmy Gregg, I did it. By hand. Some of the times Jimmy wasn't there. Me and Jerry Schindler would be doing it, taking care of the 300 folks in the day. And we learned how to tell the story. I watched Jimmy Gregg do his version of the story. And his is a lot longer than Hoffman's because he just can't stop talking. But people were sold, you know what I mean? So we did that for several months at Jimmy's office. So I was very comfortable with seeing volume. And when I opened my office then that January, what is that, about 6 months, 7 months out of school now? I'm in my own practice in the end of January. And by April, Dr. Joe Maynard came up to visit me and watch me in my practice. And he watched me adjust 168 patients on one day. And now, February, March, about less than 3 months in practice, I'm already doing 168 a day on that particular day. I have belief. I did the things they told us to do. I have new patient orientation my very first week. I'm not a great public speaker. I wasn't polished, but you know what? I'm committed that I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to say, okay, I'll get around to it. No, the commitment is this is what you do. So this is what I did. I didn't bullshit around. Went right to it. And week after week, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, that's what happened. And I was doing 168 within less than 3 months, I think. So, and never stopped there. And I, what happened at one time, I got to a peak of about, I think, 289 patients in one day when I decided, you know what? I don't want to see this many people. This is not for me. I can do it, but I don't want to do it. So I, you know, I'm comfortable at 200 a day, 220, 180, somewhere around that. You know what I mean? So, and I made a hell of a living. I'm still making a great living. I was profitable from my first week in practice. My first week in practice. Here, Sid said to advertise, right? So Sid had these tabloids with all kinds of stuff about the kidney, the respiratory system, blah, 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 subluxation. You this newsprint material, right? So we inserted them into the Detroit paper. Jimmy Gregg took a section of town. Dick Herford took some. Vince did some. And the people just flocked in it and had never seen any advertising in chiropractic before. And they just come in. In the first 2 weeks, I saw 99 new patients to get combined. And at the end of the second week, there was a DE intensive. I closed on Saturday. So I went to DE over the weekend, came back on Monday, continued. So always did it. You just are consistent. And now, you know, it's not like consistent, like it's disciplined, like it's a drudgery. It's what you do. It's your attitude that makes all the difference, right? If you make it like, oh, I got to do this, that's not the attitude. I want to do this. When Sid said this, if you don't want to lose, man, you just have this attitude. Love for the sake of loving, give for the sake of giving, and serve for the sake of serving. Yeah. How can you lose with that combination? Because it's not for you. You are there to serve. And, you know, it's a biblical teaching. You be a servant. Everything's added unto you, period. Not for you, it's for them. You want to be a servant to the world. Continue to have that. The people that want it, fine. If they don't want it, that's fine too. It's up to them. So some years go on. I maintain. It's a great practice. My kids grow up. They're growing up in chiropractic. And you get into different things after a while. You know, you can do things as your kids get older. They do different things. And about 1990, which would be about 12 years after I started practice, that's when we went to our first intervenors class. And then our kids started to follow. I think they've been to about a dozen each of themselves. You know, they learned a ton over there. Chuck Ribley, I got to say, is the most solid chiropractor I've ever known. Doesn't deviate, does not change anything. He is just so solid. In fact, he saved the school back in 2002. There was a big crisis, a political thing with Sid, where the CCE or whoever else had it in for Sid, they lost accreditation for about a couple, 3 months or something like that. And these students all freaked out and bolted. They went to other schools. So I think the enrollment dropped by about 80%. That school is going under, right? It's going under. Chuck stayed with this thing. He just stayed with it solidly. It ain't going to happen. It would not let it happen. He did everything he could, and I can't go through all the stuff that happened there. But what he did do is he got Guy Reekman to come from Palmer to Atlanta, and Guy Reekman had a reputation. We did the Renaissance thing, too. I knew all about patient education through Renaissance, and he was with Joe Felicia on that. But he came to life to be the president. I think that makes him about the fourth president in life, because it was disbanded. It was Mike Schmidt between there. But the point is, he came to school. The day he came to be president, I guess they flew to Detroit because they could figure they can count on Michigan to help out. And they went to Michigan, Michigan State or East Lansing or somewhere to do some fundraising over there. And they did some. Then they came to my house around Detroit. We had a meeting with five people at a restaurant near my house. D'Eduardo's in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Nice Italian restaurant. They gave us a separate room. We had Guy there, Chuck there, Ruth there, Tom Clapp, Kim Clapp, Kuzno, Randy O'Dell, Debbie O'Dell, Mark Tobias, and I don't know. Anyway, all of us.
And Chuck. Eat there?
Who?
Heffernan?
No, he's in Minnesota. He's in Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay.
So anyway, he says to the group, he says, you know, tell Joe, tell the guys in the room here what you told me last week. I said, what was that? He says, you said you'd be willing to cough up $100,000 to help save the school. I says, Chuck, let me straighten the account of the story. That's true. But I said, if my friends would do it, I would be more than happy to cough up $100,000 right now. So we looked at Henry Kuzno, Randy O'Dell, Tom Clapp, and myself. That night, four of us said, $100,000. We're getting not a pledge. They needed the money.
Yeah.
It was not a pledge. 100,000. Whoever did that in chiropractic before? I don't think it's ever been done. And 2 days later on Saturday, we had a meeting and just north of Detroit in Troy, Michigan, where we got about 45, 50 people there. And we told the story to everybody there that was having lunch. about what happened on Thursday, that these guys coughed up $100,000 each. And a guy that I knew his name, he stood up, but I didn't really know the guy well. Gary Wanamaker, yep. He stood up. He says, I'm going to give you $100,000 check before I leave the room. Wow. So everybody looks around at each other. I guess these people are serious, huh? So they started giving 10 and 20,000 at a time where that had never happened. Not even close did that ever happen before, right? So I don't know, between that whole thing, we might have raised $1 million that week or something like that, that they were able to make payroll at the school now, right? And keep the school open. And we already started recruiting thing about November of 2002, or when did recruiting come? Four? Anyway, about 4 months early, we started recruiting and all the chiropractors and would bring some prospective students at a hotel conference room or something like that. And we started sending people to school. In fact, we got on the phone too. We started calling Palmer and these other schools, calling the schools, the students that left, paying them $1,000 each for travel expenses to come back to life. And a lot of them wanted to come back. And $1,000 put them over the top to get them to come back. So the school grew. And, now we're, 1,700 DC students. And got all the accreditation straight away. Everything's fine.
So the school went from 3,000 plus to 300.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Was that? So it was 10% enrollment. So imagine you got your clinic and you're seeing whatever it is you're seeing 100 a week, you're seeing 1,000 a week, and you got your overhead set up for that. And all of a sudden, you've only got 10% of your practice there.
Yeah,
and it was panicked. And so Chuck River Ribley, I'd be calling him, right? Because he's a very important mentor for me as well. And I'd be calling him and I'd be looking for negative gossip, basically, right? And he was the embodiment of what you were talking about with that meditation, visualization, creation, thought creation course, in that no matter what negative stuff I would want to sort of drag out of him, he would go, the school's not going down. We're keeping the faith. We're keeping the faith. We're moving forward. And just would not give up. And at one point, for me at least, I don't know how you experienced it, Joe, but for me, he was the only one who believed.
Well, there was, to a point, I forget who the school attorney was, whatever. He says, well, that's it. There's no way. It's going to be bought by the place in Florida or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a done deal. I don't know what happened. It had something to do with Jerry Schindler talking to somebody. Some politician in Georgia says no.
I know that's later, but it's that whole two-year period.
Right there. But a miracle happens right there. Up.
Yeah, but it was just the last thing in a chain of Chuck not giving up.
And he held the line.
And he was by himself. Like, he was it.
We had the supporters, but he was the rock.
Yeah.
He was definitely the rock.
He was making it happen.
Yeah. Something happened. The mechanical thing happened. Some politician says, no, Kennesaw can't buy life. We got to let life try to survive. And how's that going to happen? But anyway, we're up and running.
So now even before then, after Ruth had spent time with you and or with Vince, gotten Vince inspired, Vince got you in, you've very much taken on the role of being an ambassador for the school and promoting the school and getting students enrolled. So how many students have you sent to life, you think?
It's got to be hundreds, indirectly or directly, between 500 and 1,000 students somehow. My first week in practice, I sent a student. He came back to work for me for a year.
So
started right off the bat.
I spoke to you last week or early part of this week, and you're talking about three people that you got in the pipeline right now that you're getting ready to send to Leadership Weekend to get them enrolled.
Oh yeah. Leadership Weekend. Yeah. I talked to a girl a couple of days ago. Maybe she's from Alaska and Hawaii. She's blown away that I actually called her from out there. My wife bought her through the banker, our bank told her. But the point is, she's a second career person like you and me. And she's going to come down to the Leadership Weekend later this year. I already got her hooked up with Maggie, and she's coming down. So anywhere I can sniff out a student, I'm going to get it, you know? And, you know, there's a line we use all the time. Have you ever thought about being a chiropractor? I think you'd make a good one. You just say that. You plant a seed. No big thing has to happen, but if it doesn't come out of my mouth, they're not going to hear it.
Right.
They're there now in front of me. I've got a captive audience. Have you ever thought about being a chiropractor? I think you'd make a good one.
Because if Ruth doesn't talk to Vince, you're not here.
And nothing's here. The school ain't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why.
So John, Jimmy, River, and Ian are all over there whining about there's not enough people for me to talk to them. And Ruth is holding the line saying, no.
Uh-huh.
We got somebody here.
Yeah. One guy. You guys are going to ignore that one guy. I'm going to go talk to him. That was it, Ruth. God bless her, man. She's just amazing. She just is amazing. And she did lectures for Ridley for a long time too in this office. She told the story in her way.
So I want to open this up. If anybody's got any questions, any. Come on, people.
Hey, doesn't have to be anything fancy. None of this is fancy, you know.
Yes, I do. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Hello, John. Well, thanks for your time. I want to know, once you have been in practice for so many years and you have been adjusting so many people every day, how do you do to keep your energy and your attitude towards chiropractic and towards what you do, and not to get like used to be doing this every day and losing the motivation after so many years? And what's your recommendation for us?
It's called purpose, on purpose. But let me bring you up to date. I'm 80 years old now. I've got two kids there in our practice. And we got three other associates. We share it now. I've got a girl that I sent to school. She just started working for me in January. She's a wonderful associate. And I've got another young man started working for me for a few years ago. I sent him to school. Now he's in my practice. And I've got another guy that's great. And we share this. But we keep going. We have a great practice. Everybody makes a good living. And you just stay on purpose. Now, my week looks like this. I probably don't see maybe myself, not even 100 a week by myself, on my own, that I actually put hands on, right? But I've got a rehab room in my office where I have a trainer that comes in. And to keep me going, I work out with her three times a week. She's my trainer, works me out real strong. And I go to a cardio class two nights a week. So I kind of stay in decent shape. Okay, and I try to eat well. Stay adjusted, eat well, exercise. You got to have a great attitude. And just don't pollute your body. Basically, that's it's like the whole thing about me doing this is like, I don't want to ever stop. It'll be 44 years in June since I graduated, right? 45. I started working almost 45 years ago in this job. And it's not a job. I don't see it as a job. I do. Now, if I need to do something else, okay, I'll see you guys. I'll be back next week. I'm going to go do something else. You know, I might go to Italy or on a ski trip, or I'm going down to the board meeting next week. I'll spend most of the week in Georgia next week. Somebody's got to take care of the place, you know. But I just sort of kind of like, let's keep us going. We're going the right direction.
So when you're going to DE, you're getting inspired by Sid, by Sigafoos, by Wayne King, by Tom Morgan, by the people that you're seeing speak, then by the cohort around you who are extremely successful and driven as well. And I know you guys were having local meetings in the Detroit area and hooking up that way. So you've got this drive and this environment of success surrounding you. Yeah. A lot of those guys are dead now, right? They're not there thoughts and their words and the memories can continue to inspire, but you don't have that the thing to lean on. People are leaning on you now.
What happened when the shit hit the fan, we started having a conference call every Tuesday. And right at the beginning, you remember Joe Curso? He was one of them.
Yep.
There might be guys from all the different states. I says, okay, guys, guess what? It looks like we are the guys now. We are the Grasslands and the Hoffmans and the Ridleys. It's up to us now. Our generation is finally freaking grown up. We've been practicing growing in 20 years, you know what I mean? It's us. We got to grab the helm and take it, you know? Now, when we do something now, we want it when new younger people come in, we want to include them. We're going out to dinner. We always want to include a couple from the next generation. We're going to meet for dinner at a restaurant, might be 8 or 10 of us. We want a couple of new people so they can identify with us and carry the torch too.
And I am so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because that was, that was me 20 years ago.
Yeah. And they love it. It's like they need guidance. They don't know what to do, and they're just happy you'll do it for them. We're happy to do it. I mean, it wasn't work for Ribley to take me on. You know, he wanted to. So we do this for this next generation. Share with them whatever you do. Answer any questions. Offer them any advice, whatever. And we got to keep doing that. So it just never doesn't get old. Okay. I'm blessed. I got a house. I'm sitting here right now. I don't know what money is in Europe, but I got a house worth $2 million. I'm sitting there right now. I'm looking at Lake Huron. And about a month and a half, it's going to be just phenomenally beautiful here. I don't want to be anywhere else. It's so gorgeous. I mean, I'm blessed to be here. I built this house 20 years ago. It's just gorgeous. And you weren't here when I had this house. You were here before when I had the old house.
I lost my glasses at your old house.
That's right. You lost them in the lake.
I was on a jet ski, a first time ever, and my glasses went boom.
Yeah.
And Cliff had to take me to a mall to buy new pair of glasses.
And we don't even try.
Back to shore. I couldn't see anybody. It's like, oh. Fuck.
did you go to the eye doctor in town to get some glasses or something?
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's just a great lifestyle. We got friends. We get plenty of friends to hang out with. Okay. Plenty all over the place. We meet here, there, restaurants, homes. Everybody wants to be here in the summer. There's no better place in Michigan besides my house. But the point is, it's just so natural. How do I keep motivated? I don't even try to be motivated. It's just what I do. People ask me, Doc, you're still working. When are you going to retire? That's not in my vocabulary. As long as I'm up and able, willing, I want to do it. That's what I want to do. I don't have to take care of 100 or 200 a day myself. We got people.
More questions?
Any other questions?
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe. My name is Viren. Thanks for your time today. My question for you is, how do you connect with your practice members on a personal level, either a new practice member or someone that's been seeing you for a long time?
First, I'll take the new person, how to connect that question. You establish rapport, find some common ground, talk about them. Don't talk about you. Well, I like to do this and I ride motorcycles or whatever. Hey, what about that person? Let's find out about them. And you know what? And repeat it back to them. And when you see them on their subsequent visit, bring it up. They'll know you remembered something they said about themselves to you. Ask them about their grandchildren or how many children they have. Where'd you go to high school? What are your hobbies? Anything to take a personal, I'm not a practice consultant, but this is the way I do it. Anything that you can show a personal interest to that person. So they're just not another body. They are a unique individual. Everybody's different. That's one reason this doesn't get old. I love to take on a new patient. I don't take too many, but I love to take a new one on. because, okay, here's a new story. New story, everybody's got their own story, and I'll find somebody to relate to them. If they're, I don't know, one of the fellows on the call here, he's come to the United States to do rock climbing. Well, my son and I used to go rock climbing, so we talked about that for a couple minutes here on this call right now. Anything like that. You like, I don't ride horses, but if you like to ride horses, we'll talk about horses, whatever. But, you know, you're going to establish something, common ground with them, so that you see them as an individual and they know you took an interest in them. Everybody wants to talk about themselves.
And so then, so I get the rapport. What's your message? Why chiropractic? What's the benefit of getting adjusted?
Well, I got a couple, you know, everybody's got the autonomic nervous system chart and the spinal nervous chart. The Dennis Nicotto chart. You know Dennis Nicotto from Colorado?
Yep.
Okay, there's a real simple chart. On the top of the chart,
the bent vertebra one, that one?
Yeah, okay, here's the brain, here's the spinal cord, yeah. The nerve. These are the nerves, there's a nerve. You know, this is the life force comes from the brain, comes out from between every vertebrae, and I tap on the poster. Every tissue cell needs that life. Every tissue cell needs that. And they don't disagree. Yeah. Well, if you got your vertebrae looking like this, we want it to try to look like this, and what'll happen? You turn the life back on. That's a pretty simple concept. They can get that. You don't need neurology and shit. This is it. Let's turn the life on by correcting these subluxations. And how do subluxations happen? I don't. Could be a bad mattress. It could be anything. You have a life. You've done stuff in your life. That's it. And it takes time to fix this. You didn't have this only for a week. You've had this for years and years, just like Joe Felicia, Guy Reichman in Renaissance. It takes time to fix these things. And you, after you're fixed, maybe you want to maintain it.
Not complicated.
Nothing's really changed in 45 years for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else, please?
As you have sent so many people to chiropractic, how do you see a seed in someone who will fit as a great chiropractor, a good chiropractor?
Ask the question again. How what?
How do you identify someone who will be a great chiropractor? Who inspire you? You see the seed and you see the flame within. How you can serve?
Well, Ernie Landis on the East Coast, I think New Jersey or New York, he asked everybody. He said that to everybody, even an old lady. He said, "Well, I'm not going to be a chiropractor, but maybe I got a grandson that's interested."
So what? Yeah, okay. I don't know what you're asking, Sebastian. Are you asking how did he send so many people? Or of all the people that he sent, how does he identify who's going to be really good at it?
Yeah, the second one.
Oh, you don't know who's going to be good at it. You tell him you think you'd be a great chiropractor. Anybody, if they develop the attitude and the philosophy, anybody can be a great chiropractor. You see? I don't know who's going to be the better one, whatever. But, you know, they all got a shot at it, right?
Yeah.
And it's up to them. You have to make it available for them. And if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen because nobody else is going to tell them.
Which is exactly the same with chiropractic care. Tell everyone.
Everybody.
Some people will get lifetime care and some people will get 4 visits for pain. And who cares? You tell everyone and you tell everyone and you tell everyone and you tell everyone and you do it over and over and over again. And people will come in for that. And that's how you get 99 news in 2 weeks.
Now, Ernie Landis is well established that he sent literally hundreds of patients, hundreds, maybe 300 or 400 to school. And if you know Ernie, he's just a modest, mild guy, just a salt of the earth kind of guy. Not a great motivator, just a nice person. But they went to school because whatever he did it out of sincerity. Good question. That is a good question. How do you identify somebody that's going to be great?
Who else?
Well, I can throw a couple thoughts at you that I've learned over the years when I went, all of my stuff that I've been to people, it's the philosophical. Philosophical is the best. So thinking is everything. Change thinking changes everything. decision. Nothing happens without a decision. And what is commitment? Stand with it. Work. What was the chant, Mark, at DE?
Work is fun. Work, I love to work.
I love to work. If you can say that enough times, guess what? Work is not bad. And then I said, I think I've told you, be on purpose. Don't be distracted with a bunch of other crap. There's a lot of stuff. There's all kinds of ways to be distracted. Stay on purpose. You can go out and screw off on the weekend and go on your jet ski and lose your glasses, whatever you do, but go back to work. When you go back to work, stay on purpose. Be what you're about. Don't be changing all the time. And believe you're already successful. Even if you're struggling, you're already successful because you've got a mind to make it so. Believe it. Meditate on it. Go to Mark's program. Maybe you guys already all do. I don't know. One thing I learned from John Hoffman in the very beginning, because we hear a lot of these different phrases come around. Innate will provide. Come on, I told him, and he's talking about two new guys he's never met before. He was already talking about DE, innate, okay? That school doesn't even have accreditation. Why would I go down there? Keep the faith. Innate will provide. That's what he told us. I said, well, you're a living example. I think I'm going to kind of listen to you, right? So it's about keeping the faith, right? Love for the sake of loving, give for the sake of giving, serve for the sake of serving, ask for nothing in return. Dick Santos, that was him. Remember Dick?
Yep.
He said that. Oh, a lot of people said that. We all said that. That's the message. We're still saying it. And then act. Nothing happens without action. Don't put it off. I'm a procrastinator in a lot of things. I think we all are. You know, we got to master that thing. If procrastination is a particular problem of yours, get on it. With action, take action. I'm open to anything else anybody's got. I've got the afternoon. What time is it over there now? It's not bedtime, is it?
8 p.m. now.
Okay.
Two more questions. Come on, guys.
Do you have any meditation advice or anything to keep that belief and taking that action?
Can you say that? Start over and say that again.
So if you have any meditation recommendation or anything that I can use into action to put that action into.
Dr. Chuck Ribley has a bunch of meditations on his tapes, or it's I don't know what kind of form they come in there. He's got the innate.
There's tons of meditations. The deal is there is no magic meditation.
Oh, there you go.
There is Joe goes to a meeting. Ruth talks to Vince. Vince pushes the hell out of Joe. Joe sees John Hoffman seeing 300 people, and it's like, damn. I can, if John can do it, I can do it, right?
That was my attitude. I said, this guy's a lot like me. Hell, he's a lot like me. If he can do it, why can't I?
That's it. You know, and John is watching Jimmy, and they're all watching Sigafoos, and everybody's watching Clarence Gonstead, and everybody's watching Sid Williams.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's Sid can do it, and Sid's there at the front of the room, like, you know, like a giant in spirit. And you got to bring it into you. It's not an external thing that's going to seep in. It's a belief. It's a vibe. It's a certainty. And you've got to want it more than anything else.
You want to hang out with the people that want what you want. That same thing. Now, you guys are like from all over the world on this Zoom call. This is amazing, an amazing technology, you know. But if you've got people in your own town or with a reasonable drive, meet for dinner, maybe try to get four or five of you to meet for dinner and talk this whole thing down and share any kind of stories, any philosophy. Read from the green books. Like, I read them, even if they didn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. I read them. Something went internal here from reading the green books, because everybody says read the green books. I thought they're like crazy. I liked about the like first 40 pages of Didi's book. I thought it was pretty cool, but beyond. But the thing is, you've got to go where it's at, and you share it with your friends and help each other. I never take from any of my friends. I got nothing to take from people, and I don't care if they take from me. That's all. I got nothing to hide. If I've got a secret for success, it's yours if you want it. Mark put it there. I don't see a secret. It's all into you. See it in your mind's eye. Visualize it. Even if it sounds crazy, whatever you're visualizing, if it appeared in your thoughts, there's a vibration going out there that, you know, if you can create this, you can create this. But you got to work.
In what is it now? 4 weeks. We got less than 4 weeks. We got Cairo Europe. Okay. At Cairo Europe, you can go to Cairo Europe and you can look to be inspired or moved or entertained or have a good time or party or work on your tan or whatever. Or you can go to Cairo Europe with the intention of hearing a message that will change your life and change your direction and create your tribe, create your peer group, create your mastermind. So Joe was talking about Jimmy Gregg and John Hoffman, right? What I would do is, and I don't drink, and I don't even like being around drinking, okay? And it didn't matter. I would go to the bar at DE, and I would sit around, and John and Jimmy would get drunker and drunker and drunker and would bullshit with each other and tell stories, and I'd be in the background going, another stupid question like this. And you know, coming from my headspace, and they are demonstrating who they be as successful DE chiropractors and people who are living the principle. And there is no secret. There's no there is magic. It's all magic, but it's not anything that's removed or external. It's in your heart. It's in your head. And you just got to let it in. And then you got to like sync with it and run with it. And when you do that, the world opens up for you.
When you go to the meetings like Cairo Europe, you stay in the room. Don't go to hallways and have a good time. You attend the whole meeting. There's going to be something there you're going to pick up from somebody that's going to, they just said it the way it really resonates with you. So stick with it. I could never understand how people can go to the meeting and not go in the meeting. Come on, you know. Another question. Anything go?
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing the story. It's truly inspiring and just wakes me up. Even it's like over midnight here already. But I just wonder, look, with like, you know, like hindsight looking back, what would be the advice you give, like, you know, the yourself, aka like us fellows here, well, for your first 5 or 10 years of practice?
Well, you keep pushing the rock. The round rock ball, keep pushing it, putting the energy into it. Don't stop. Don't rest. Just keep doing it. If you get start to feel burnout, maybe you need to take a little break, but continue to do that. Continue to do that. Keep your overhead low, by the way. Keep your overhead low. Get out of debt. Pay out whatever debts you may have. Keep your taxes paid. Pay your debts off, and you feel free. I was fortunate enough about 3 or 4 years in the practice to go to a meeting where they talked about this. And I said, yeah, that really makes sense. Okay. Got to get a lot of cash flow, no money. That's baloney. I paid the debts off, paid my house off. When I buy anything now, it's cash. Done. Mm-hmm. I don't feel any pressure like that. And I don't know where you are. You're new, so I'm going to assume you've got debt, but work on that. Work on your practice, and don't, if you start making some good money, don't go out and buy new cars and all kinds of fancy stuff. You don't need Rolex watches.
Right? I'm a little, yes.
Well, they're little use. Come on. Get out of debt first before you do anything like that. Oh, by the way, there is a biblical principle. Whatever you give out comes back multiplied, right? Mm-hmm. I have personally given the school of Life University over $500,000 so far. Over $500,000. And I'm not done. I'm going to continue to do it, right? And they have endowment and all that stuff. We'll see about what happens when I'm no longer here. You know what I mean? But I give back. They talked about giving back when I was, I gave back, I don't know, maybe I gave them $50 when I was a student. I don't know. But if you have that habit, it changes your consciousness. Your money consciousness changes if you don't just try to hang on to everything or spend it the wrong way too. Don't be afraid to give back to whatever that thing is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right. So don't just take, give. But work hard.
For sure. Roger that, sir.
Okay. Any more? One more.
Compared to 45 years ago, do you think people are more generally more subluxated nowadays?
I think they're subluxated in a lot of ways these days. Yeah, we didn't have the problem back then, but I don't know if they're more. I really haven't thought about if they're subluxated more. I think we just have different issues these days. You know, things are more toxic. There's more, I don't know where you are, but in this country, there's more polarization among the folks here, you know. They try to paint everybody with a label and all that kind of crap, you know, this, but as far as subluxation, there's many ways to get subluxated. People find ways to be subluxated. They just do stuff. They do the wrong shit. What are you going to do? You just, so I'm going to say I don't think they're more than they were before. Although I think they're sicker. You know, I thought you were going to ask, compared to 45 years ago, what's the attitude to chiropractic? People are way more accepting of chiropractic than they were when I started. I mean, chiropractic was almost a secret word when you started. You're kind of weird if you're a chiropractor. It's mainstream around here now, all over the place.
How do you deal with people coming in with a limited scope, pain relief, I just want to get adjusted three times mentality?
Well, you know, I just put it this way. You've got this, you've got that. I take x-rays, so I've got x-rays to show them. I'll show them, look at your neck. Look at this bent spine. Look at these osteophytes here. Look at the degenerated disc. How long do you have you had this problem? Well, I don't know, decades yet. Okay, what are we going to accomplish in three to six visits? I might make you feel a little bit better. Is that all you want? Or do you want to start on a path to get healthier? You got to let them make the choice. They're going to give you the answer.
Okay, good. So.
And the last one?
Yep.
Question? Yeah. Okay, hi, Corinna. Do you protect yourself like from any? Okay,
Say it again.
Like with the vaccinated people now. Can you hear me? Do you protect your?
I think what she's saying.
Procedure to protect yourself.
With from, what?
Yeah.
Breaking up. Do you? Joe, do you protect yourself from vaccinated people?
No. No. I act the same now as I ever did. In the beginning of COVID, we were all scared to death of it. The first couple months, you know, I actually wore a mask for a few weeks, you know, and I said, that's enough of this bullshit. I'm not doing it. I have an immune system. I take care of myself. I think I got COVID way back in 2020. I had all kinds of aches and pains for about 2 weeks. My wife, too. We got over it. We didn't do anything. Okay? take some vitamin C and zinc, get adjusted, drink a lot of water, and get rest. You know, we have an immune system. We got over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't.
Yeah, I mean, from the energy, like.
The people come into my office with the mask. I says,
okay,
you know,
okay. Now, so what about crazy energy? What about you're talking about the polarization, for instance, political polarization, or just crazy shit going on all the time? How do you not allow yourself to get sucked into that and stay focused on the big idea and on DE, on getting people to success leadership weekend?
I don't participate in conversation that's not on purpose. They want to start talking about other crap. I said, that's not the purpose of you being here. That's not what we do here. All right. This is a chiropractic office. We do this, we do that, we go there, you know, turn on the light, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're going to talk about. Have you ever heard the term table talk? Table talk is what you're saying to the patient when they're in a room. You know what I do? I get them on the table and I'll be palpating, but I'll be talking about them and asking the questions I want to lead the conversation in and telling them, giving them a little message, you know, and do that for the entire visit. And it might be only for 1 minute, but the table talk is going to be on purpose, not about what happened to the baseball team or the soccer team. We're going to talk about this because that's their only chance to get some chiropractic education. You know, it's all got to do with that, you know. So you remember what you are and stay with that.
All right. Well, on that note, let's say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Joe.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
I miss you. When I was on the life board, we used to see each other every 3 months, and we haven't seen each other for several years now. So
a few years, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So love to Sandy. Love to everybody at the board meeting. Is it next week or when is it?
Next week, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Nice to talk to all the folks all over the place here. That was pretty neat.
Okay. Well, anytime you want to come back, we're here.
All righty.
Okay.
You take care. Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Take care. Good day. Good afternoon. Whatever it is over there.
We got from Australia, China.
Wow.
U.S., all over Europe.
Yeah. That's a pretty, pretty impressive group, man.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Madrid.
In China, went to school in Florida. I see that.
Yeah.
And she wants to go to Great Britain, New England. I mean, England or something like that, London.
Yeah. She's coming to work. Okay, guys. I'm going to go. See you guys. Thank you, Joe. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Pleasure. Take care.